Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, also simulcasting on eSETI Stargate. And things are really picking up there. I've lost track on how many. We have something like probably 90-something affiliates now and 40-plus countries, and it's really taking off. So we have quite a listening base. Things are really moving. I wanted to cover a few things today before we start, and I've got a great guest, and I'll go into that, but some of the things that just hit the news are just mind-boggling, and I would really look up. Every time we try to forward one of these things, it gets censored. And what's funny, it really gets censored when I try to send it to Australia, which is interesting. It'll go here for a little while and wait, but they're on it, and they censor it right away. But you know, the governors here, the Republican governors, I mean, there's been supposedly 9,007, I think, COVID deaths under Republican governors. And so the Democrats, there's been 90,000, I think it's 90,144 deaths. So 9,000 to 90, what's going on with this picture? It seems everything that they're heavy-handed, lockdown threats, everything, you know, all the stress-oriented stuff they're creating is actually making things worse. So anyway, Dems, you might want to rethink that and kind of look at what the Republicans are doing. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I'm just quoting the numbers. And CNN, too, is a big part of that. You know, they one of the CNN news anchors was asking this whole group, how come nobody's wearing a mask, you know? And one of them said, you know, like your cameraman. So none of their cameramen are wearing masks. And then they all mask up for the interviews, you know. But, you know, according to the latest doctors are talking about, masks really cut your oxygen flow. They create stress. They stress out the body. There's a lot of things around masks. You know, if you're really sick, you should maybe wear a mask. If you're not, you want to keep that oxygen flowing in there. And also the contact tracing thing, we got to really just say no to that. They're saying it's voluntary, but it's involuntary, but you will be arrested and charged $2,000 if you don't comply. So how is that voluntary? I'm trying to figure that one out, you know, maybe. And really, you want to look at the forced vaccines too and just get away from that. So I don't want to cover that too much. We've covered that in other shows. There's other people covering that, but I know that our president just dropped the hammer on Facebook and Twitter and a lot of these other guys for all the censoring they're doing. Mm-hmm. And we're getting heavy censoring and heavy shadow banning as well. So hopefully that will come to an end. But that's all I really wanted to cover today. I want to bring our guest, Trevor Hindy. And he's an Australian icon, well known for his sporting feats in the hugely popular sport of ocean Ironman racing. Known as one of the Australia's fittest ever athletes and greatest ocean Ironman, he has been inducted into the Australian Sporting Hall of Fame and honored as a member of the Order of Australia for his services to the community. He became known for his uncanny ability to find his way through tricky ocean situations, often rocketing to the front of the final moments of a big event. His intuitive and instinctive approach to pressure of racing in elite sport was no doubt a window into the person he became after the sport. So one who always sees the opportunities and he sees the openings in the most challenging moments. His motto is bring it into now and never underestimate the power of who you are. He's an avid truth seeker and now renowned as an international keynote truth speaker and as a founding partner of the Life Changer Foundation for Youth and author of the online boot camp for the soul. He's highly sought after, soul coach, guiding some of the world's leading CEOs and business owners, community leaders, actors, musicians, athletes to make the shift from win at all costs to win on all levels and from the head to the heart. For his ambition to his purpose, he is an energy worker, Qigong, and meditation teacher who specializes in helping others constantly upshift in their awareness through selfless living and service to the planet and the whole, fulfilling our destiny. He's most at home with few family and tribe members exploring consciousness and ocean and nature. Anyway, without any further ado, I want to bring Trevor on the show. Trevor, are you with us?
Hey, James. Good to be with you, mate. That was quite a mouthful, wasn't it, that intro? Yeah. But it's good to be with you, my friend.
Yeah, there's so much going on. I don't even know where to start, but, you know, we should talk about how we met. I thought that was quite interesting.
Yes.
We're in Australia at the, what was that? What was the name of that?
It was the Disclosure Down Under.
Yeah, Disclosure Down Under. But what was the name of that building that they had?
Oh, that was, well, that's the Collingwood Town Hall, the Collingwood City Town Hall. And that's funny, I was actually born in, I'm on the Gold Coast now, which is 2,000 kilometers north of there. And I was born in that region and I grew up my whole life as a football supporter, as a Collingwood supporter. So to go to Disclosure Down Under and turn up and we're in the Collingwood Town Hall had a funny sense of irony for me because that's where my life started, you know, and even sport and all that sort of stuff started for me. So the Collingwood Town Hall, and it was quite a trippy little place, eh?
Yeah. It's, you know, all the little gargoyles on the buildings and all the Illuminati pictures all around the hall and everything. I go, whoa, we're in deep state central here.
It's a funny story because I was aware of Pete Slattery and felt very connected to him and felt very connected to yourself. I'd watched the show many times and saw different things that you were doing. And I had those buzz moments where my whole body would light up while you were talking on your show and stuff. And I just knew that I needed to meet the two of you guys. And my wife and I decided to come down with some friends down to Melbourne to see it. And then we all of a sudden the plans changed and they couldn't come. We're like, oh, you know, we won't go. And I was on the other side of the country at the time doing some work and back when you could fly. But and all of a sudden, both of us in the middle of the night woke up and went, we have to be at that thing. And we contacted each other in the morning, said, we've got to go to Melbourne. She said, I got the same thing last night. We've got to go. And we're walking in and there's a big line to get into the place. And it was a great rock up for you guys. But I remember saying to Joe, just got to meet James and Pete. Just got to meet James and Pete. Like, I've got to connect. There's something going on. We have to talk, you know. Anyway, we got shunted through a different door and around the back because of some tickets we had. And next minute they said, you just got to walk through that door to get to the stairs to go upstairs. And as I crossed the door, literally about to walk through the door, you and Pete stepped into the doorway. And we kind of went like face to face in that moment. Yeah. I was like, there's the universe, you know, doing its magic and we connected from that moment, you know, but clearly the connection was there beforehand, but that was the realization. So
it was really funny. To Peter, I go, I know that guy. I go, who is that guy?
Who is that guy?
Yeah. It was just an energetic signature as connection that happened. And I felt the lion beings and everything so strong with you, and they're strong with me too. And it was kind of funny when we met, we both just like looked at each other and kind of pointed at each other. Okay. You know, like,
yeah. I know. I think you said to me, you came up to us on the balcony and said, I said to Peter, who's that guy who's packing some juice, you know, and pumping out some juice or something. And I just, that connection you talked to me about the lion being straight away, you know, and I was aware of their presence, but hadn't put together who they were. I was just aware that something was supporting me to speak truth and to explore my own truth for a long period of time. And I had a crazy journey around the planet and met some amazing people and done some incredible things and, you know, got dragged into celebrity life and darkness and all that sort of stuff as well. But I've had that support the whole way. So literally that moment when you said that about the lion beings, that was a little pivotal moment for me. So thank you, because I kind of went, oh, that's who they are. And from that moment on, I've kind of been, oh, there they are. And when we talk, I can just fully feel them, you know, going. So it's a good thing.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a fun trip. It was quite interesting. I felt, you know, my initiation to Australia, the first night I'm laying in bed and this big black spider comes up and bites me in the neck.
You got bitten, didn't you?
Yeah, and they go, oh, they're kind of semi-poisonous, but so, you know, don't worry. And I got a little numbness and that was about it and went away. But so I got initiated, you know, into the spider clan or something.
Yeah.
But it was kind of funny. Did you see that clip you made of the giant spider that was on the van?
I did. And, you know, it was funny was that I think I was shadowing you guys a little bit because I left Melbourne and went to Sydney to work at an event. And I was actually just down the road from you. So it's kind of like I was just hanging down the road, holding a bit of space as well. But I think we had an interesting experience holding space at that thing with some energy that turned up through somebody at that convention, you know. So it's a fascinating thing. But, yeah, mate, you guys look like you had a lot of fun. I think there was a few parts had a bit of jealousy, like I wish I was in that van having a laugh with you.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. We were cracking all kinds of jokes. And that spider was just enormous. It was like, you
know. Welcome to Australia.
Yeah, I think John called it, what do you call it, arachnid. Park or something like that.
I just went out to a really beautiful little sort of contact hotspot we've got near here, and I went out with my son and a friend, and I told you about the spot a little while ago, and I just went back out there for the second time, and we swam out through this gorge, and beautiful, just stunning, amazing. And my buddy stood up on the rock, and it's freezing cold water. You know, we're just coming into winter here, but it's really cold. Swam out, and we stood up on this beautiful rock in the sun, and then my son swam out as well. And just as he got close, he was like, "Oh crap!" And we looked over, and on the rock right next to us was about a 6-foot-long red-bellied black snake just sitting there right next to us. So we've got it all going on out here.
You have some crocs there? Were they crocs?
Not this far south. We're pretty happy with that.
So. Oh yeah, yeah, that's good. When we went to Gosford Glyphs, I had one of those big iguanas come walking down, and it was funny because I twisted my ankle. I stepped on this rock and it spun out on me and went into a hole and twisted my ankle. And I just sat at the mother tree there, and I said, you know, thanks. I don't need this. Can we give this back to the earth or whatever? And I was working on just releasing that. And it's funny, I got an instant healing there. It was crazy.
Oh, wow.
But while I was sitting there, one of those big iguanas came by, you know, and he just came cruising right by and stopped. And he sat there and looked at me for a while. And I filmed him, you know, I got photographs and filmed him. And then he kept walking. And I thought about it. I said, you know, my younger days, I used to grab things like that. Try to catch him. But I thought about it, and I go, you know, if I grab this guy, I might have trouble turning him loose. You know?
They turn around pretty quick, too.
Yeah, he was big. I mean, he was big. That would really hurt if he got a hold of him. So, we used to catch these things called chuckawallas in the high desert, and they almost look like a Gila monster, but they're not poisonous. And they have a different type of tail, but you know, they'll bite you down to the bone. They can bite really strong. We used to catch them when they're kids, and you always stay away from the business end, you know?
We got such amazing wildlife out here, and it's different. You know, it's not like that African wildlife. It's not like the big animals, you know, we've got a lot of sort of small to medium animals that are really quite fascinating, you know, from the kangaroo to the koala, to the emu, to, you know, or emu if I said it in America, but just fascinating things, the spiders and the snakes and the great whites and the box jellyfish and, you know, blue-ringed octopus. So I think we've got 7 of the top 9 most venomous creatures in the world, in the country. Yeah. So there's something about, you know, you got to be ready when you come here.
I was watching that clip where you're out surfing and you show me that clip and you're out there surfing. There's these at least two massive sharks coming up behind you.
Oh.
On that one, I go, oh my God, you know, look at that. Yeah, you're like cruising along and they're just cruising right in behind you.
Did
you see them? Did you know they were there?
No, not in that particular one. There's another one where I've got dolphins swimming, like watching me and stuff. And I started foil surfing and riding the foil, which rides above the water. So you've got the wing underneath the water, and that fascinates the anything in the ocean. Is like, what is this creature, you know? But I've had crazy experiences over my time with dolphins and whales. You know, I think it's a very strong, serious connection.
Yeah.
I've been picked up by whales on their back, and then I've climbed off, because it's the whole thing about don't be on the whale, you know? I've climbed off, and then the whales change direction, come back over and pick me up. Uh-huh. And they've been covered in lice, so I've been rubbing lice off them, and I've ridden on the back of a whale for about 45 minutes once. It was just the most incredible experience. I've kind of got this crazy affinity with the ocean and marine life and nature and stuff like that, and big sharks and dolphins, and caught fish in my hands and had incredible experiences, which I think is probably normal for us if we're really, really relaxed and connect with things. They come in close to you, but most people are kind of at ease and everything, you know, they're stressed and everything keeps its distance.
Yeah. I still haven't gotten over the shark thing. You know, when I see a big shark in the water and I'm in the water too, I still have an issue with that. I get out of the water pretty quick easily.
I just call them pointy dolphins. That is, say, they're pointy dolphins. I take people on swim weeks and stuff in Australia, out here at one of our most beautiful places I've been in the world called Lord Howe Island. And we swim with sharks, you know, and we literally go for ocean swims, and we say to the guys and girls, you know, you might see some pointy dolphins, and they're like, what are pointy dolphins? And then someone works out it's a shark. But it's amazing when they do come in and they see you. It's such an honor to be close to one of those, you know. And I've had similar experience with lions and cheetahs and stuff in Africa, where they've walked right up next to me and stopped and looked and said hello, and you know, and just walked away again. So it's you know, nature's our friend, I think, when we don't fear it.
That's my next trip to Africa. Michael Tellinger wants me to come out there, and I definitely, he's like another brother from another mother, and I want to get out there and check out some of the wildlife, and especially the white lions check them
absolutely
out.
I'd spent some time in Africa with some friends, and that was probably the second most amazing place I've ever been. Like, it was just mind-blowing stuff, and taking my family there, and I really want to. But it's funny, you can be in the city. I remember being in a game park, and somebody said to me, you know, don't walk, you know, from here to the lodge, because you could get killed. And two people had been eaten walking just between the hut and the lodge the year before. And I remember thinking, God, I'm so alive, you know, like, it's a crazy feeling that you could die in any moment, you could be alive. And then I went to Durban, actually, and at this particular point in time, many years ago, I was walking down a road, and somebody said, oh, what are you looking for? And I said, I'm looking for this. And they said, oh, look, it's just down there, but don't go left down that road, because you could get killed, you know. And I remember thinking, oh my God, I'm in the city and the country, I've been told exactly the same thing. And it's very, there's hardly any rules in Africa, and South Africa in particular, you know, and where there are rules, they get broken all the time. So you don't feel as safe, but you feel way more alive. And I just think that's a fascinating subject, because the safer we make ourselves, the more dead we are, you know, and that really occurred to me, that place is free and wild and everything. You never feel so alive as you do in Africa.
Yeah, it has that energy too. It has that mother energy, or kind of like the mother. Yeah. God, there's so many places we can go. I wanted to talk about, you went through the whole fame and fortune, all that stuff, that program and everything. And then what shifted you out of that? What was the big shift that made you move out of that and move back into service?
You know, I think, it's really cool, James. I've been doing more work on this lately, and my persona, my alter ego, my shadow, it was all built around winning. You know, it was always, I had to win, you know, win as much as I could, win at all costs. Yeah. And below that, from a young kid, a 14 or 15 year old, I had, the winner seemed to get the girl, you know, the winner in the surf club, the winner got the girl, the winner got the laughs, the winner got the last say, the winner got to call the shot when we went to the shop or when we went out in the waves. The winners seem to get all the spoils. And so in my subconscious mind, I built this picture from a very close family upbringing. I traveled to Australia. I spent a lot of time with our original people here, you know, hanging out in missions and all sorts of crazy things in the Northern Territory and Western Australia. And so I had that as a basis in finding my way through the bush in Australia, and beautiful family. And next minute I'm in the surf club, and the winner seemed to get everything. In my subconscious mind, I created this thing. I have to win to get everything, and I have to win. Then I'll be popular. Then I'll be liked. Then I'll be admired. Then I'll have some power. And also then I'll be loved, because you can only be loved if you get the girl, you know, and my beautiful father, who is a powerful figure, he had the trophy wife. He had his beautiful wife, which was my mum, and the beautiful family, and the pictures started gathering for me that, to have that and be like my dad, he was like my God, I had to be the winner, because it was the only way I was going to get the girl. I was skinny, freckly, uncool, unpopular, not funny, you know. And it just clicked one day that it kind of went, I went, right, well, I'm going to win, and I'll win everything, you know. And I had two people in particular in the surf club, one who was like a foe and one who was like my hero. He was the world champion. And I decided that I had to beat him and I had to win that. You know, and what happened was, it's a funny thing, because you tap into a lot of power from decisions, subconscious decisions like that. And because underpinning it, I still had a real connection to nature, and ultimately in my deeper beingness, which I would discover later, that I had a real affinity with the ocean and the ocean beings, and I had other planetary influence. And I got in the ocean and I would start flying across the ocean, and I would find my way to be free, you know. So at the end of it, at the bottom of it, I wanted to be free and I wanted to be loved. Now, the shadow side of being free and being loved is being free to do whatever you want. No one can tell you what to do. you know. And so next minute I'm winning titles, I'm winning world titles, our series became super popular. I did an episode on Baywatch and it was like a billion people watching that at the time, and had to run in slow motion, and you know, met Madonna and met Michael Jackson and had these, went to all the parties and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And I never partook in anything that was, you know, dark and nefarious or anything. That's not one of those stories. But what I did do was that shadow of needing to be loved and liked and admired meant that I followed that into all these places. And the further I went into it, the more goodies I got and the more things that I got thrown at my feet. And, you know, I lost integrity in a few different ways, and just in girls and all that sort of stuff, and and lost my way in all of that. And what happened was my relationship broke up. I was married at 19 because I wanted to keep the girl once I got her, you know, but I wasn't being true to that relationship, and I didn't even understand the power of my wife and what she was about. I was, you know, my body started to collapse. All these cues and hints started to come. Money was getting lost and things are happening. And so the crazy thing was that I went to see a chiropractor, kinesiologist, healer bloke. And he said to me he said, you got two things. I think you might be allergic to something, maybe dairy. And I was like, I was thinking, oh no, don't take chocolate and ice cream away from me. It's the only comfort I've got, you know? And he also said to me, you've got some anger issues. And I, in my reaction, in my face, I was like, oh yeah, you know, inside I was like, who the hell does this guy think he is? You know, little mental note to self, you do appear to be angry, you know? So that was the cue. That was, I didn't wake up because I was worried about my effect on other people. That wasn't the first point of time that I woke up. It was because he said to me, if you don't clear this up, you won't win another world title. So I came to awakening from the need to win. And then as I started exploring consciousness and everything else, all of a sudden I was like, hang on, I'm a bit of a dick. You know, like, what is that? I'm like, and all of a sudden I'm like, is that me? That, and the ego started to become so transparent. I'm like, oh no, what have I become? You know, I think I've heard about like ayahuasca ceremonies in Peru where they talk about, first you ask the question, who have I become? You know, then you ask what am I here to do or whatever it is, you know. And I'm like, I can totally understand, because the first thing in my awakening was I had to recognize who I'd become. And I'd become the winner and the guy that I was the guy. Now I was the guy and I had the popularity and the following, and I, like, such a control freak, but I did it with such a smile on my face. And so the awakening was needing to win. But as I traveled that path, I recognized straight away. And what I talked about was shifting from win at all costs mentality, which is where you can have any nefarious thing inside of you you want. And you do, I've discovered, I tapped into those dark energies, the same thing that we accuse, you know, the cabal of, I love your shirt, kicking him in the cabals. the same thing we accuse, those dark energies. I found that stuff inside of myself in little pockets, going, oh, wow, doing anything to be in control and control the narrative in much smaller terms. So I had to face up to the shadow side, and that created a whole path and a discovery. And I actually started, eventually people started opening up in front of me, and I'm like, oh my God. And I just listened to people and I became a counselor clearer very naturally. And all of a sudden it just happened. All of a sudden I couldn't care less about winning. And I just wanted to actually help other people win in the sense of discover who they were. Having said that, that shadow side has stayed with me for years and years, where I just keep seeing pockets of it. And I have to win a little Twitter argument or win something else. And it's like, no, that's the same shit. Let it go. You know? So it's clearing though.
I had a dream once, and it was in another level, and they're playing some game. It's kind of like baseball, and there's all these masters, and they're playing this game, and they would miss on purpose. You know, they'd miss the ball, they'd make all these mistakes and everything. And I asked him, I go, you know, how'd you miss that like that? And he goes, I didn't need to catch it. I needed to miss it, you know? And he said, the other guy needs to win. The other guy, they said, that guy needs to win, you know? So it was really interesting. I started really thinking about it. I said, you know, yeah, this is like building. Some people you have to build up and some people you have to tear down. The yogis I studied with said that. He said, you know, some people don't have an ego and you have to build them up. And then some people have too much of an ego and you have to tear them down. You know,
I can totally relate. Yeah. And I feel like sometimes like I have to tear. I love what Eckhart Tolle says, and that's take every moment you can to dismantle your ego. You know, like every time you see it, just dismantle it again and again. And I think for a long period, like the pendulum swings. I love the Christmas tree analogy, that you start here and you think you're right, you know, and then the pendulum swings to completely opposite and you're like, oh, you think you're right here. And then slowly but surely, it's just like the lights on the Christmas tree, that they go up like this. And as the pendulum swings, eventually you get to that star or the angel on the top and you go, oh, it's somewhere in the middle, you know. It's not just in the middle, it's the middle and the elevated view of what's actually going on. But I would have hated, I couldn't have dropped the ball, no way in the world. I couldn't drop the ball in a family game. I had to win everything, you know.
Yeah.
So it's so beautiful to let go of that and feel, God, that was destroying me. Like I couldn't even bring my beingness, wasn't, my beingness had come through in a moment in sport. It would shine through when I got in the zone. But the rest of the time I was, you know, covered in this suit that I was wearing. It was just such a load of garbage.
I know. I usually don't like that rooster energy, you know, that real competition energy. Yeah. And then, because then they get all bummed out when you beat them too. And you don't, yes. You know, now I'm responsible for that. You know, and you're just going, can we just play to have fun? Can we just have fun here? You know?
Yeah,
try to get away. And there's all these people that want to challenge you. You know, they want the competition. And you know, no matter what, basketball, ping pong, no matter, we have all kinds of stuff we have out here. We have our little driving range, horseshoes, a basketball area. Yeah. And just have fun. You know, we just have fun with it. But it's
when, when the flights come back, I'll come out and I'll have a non-competitive display of
I played these guys.
See if I've shifted.
I played these guys. They were number one and two in ping pong in some champions in Newport Beach in California. And they're number one and two, and they just had a really bad two, you know. And they're going next, you know, and beat even women, you know, they're beating them really bad and going next. And so I ended up beating both of them. You know, and I just couldn't do any wrong. It's like my higher self came in and took over. And I was going, next. I was going, next. They go, no, you have to play me again. And I go, no, there's other people in line. You're not being there. Yeah. It's my table. I said, yeah, but that doesn't matter. You know, and then I got to the point where this guy was going to play me. He was just so random to play me. And I lost to a girl on purpose. So he had to play the girl. And I left. It was so funny. It was so hilarious. But
I do see that shenanigans in you, you know, that playfulness where you love messing with the energy. It's kind of cool. I like that.
Yeah, I push buttons now. I mean, I have to watch that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
yeah.
It's you got to really master any, you got to master loving detachment, you know, and any need for acceptance and approval outside of yourself. And I studied with some lamas and they had just a wicked sense of humor, and that's how they taught. And they'd nail you on your stuff and they'd just laugh and joke out of it, you know.
I had an old spiritual teacher and he used to say, you know, he used to be very light and flippant, and we'd be sitting in, you know, a course sometimes and everyone would be so serious, and then he'd make a joke and you'd be like, how did you get to make that joke? And it would lighten the whole mood, you know, because it's, you know, freeing yourself out is, should never be a serious matter. You know, it should always be light. But he used to say, you know, if you're going to call someone on something, or if you're going to poke the bear, just make sure you're willing to stick around and bring them through.
Yeah.
You know, don't poke him for fun and leave him, you know, reeling. Make sure that the presence stays. And even if you leave the room, make sure your presence stays with them until one day they bring you back and go, I got what you meant.
I know it's really hard to hit a smiling face. You know, you just keep smiling instead of fun.
That's right. not impossible, though, to hit a smiling face.
No, it's not. Really hard. Yeah. Here I'm kind of like the pun master. I'm always just doing one bad pun after another.
It's keeping it light. Mm.
Yep. But there's so much happening right now. What's happening over in Australia? I'm sure you guys are having the same issues that we are, probably even more so, because there's a little more heavy-handed there.
You know that. I love that old Zen saying is, the only thing that's happening is what you're focusing on.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's funny because I've actually just been continuing my work instead of traveling around doing, you know, seminars and stuff like that. I've just been doing a bunch of sort of Zoom work and helping different people out. And I was in a fortunate situation. I lost everything years ago and went right back down to the bones of my ass. And from that moment, I've never been worried about money or anything else. It's just always been in the flow. So I've had a nice flow going and things have been good. And the abundance of the universe, I've had great support lately. And when this whole thing shifted and changed, the support just shifted and changed and things happened in really kind of magical ways for me. So I've actually, people keep asking me what's going on over there. And I'm like, I'm not sure. It's been pretty good, actually. You know, like I've enjoyed being home with my family, and the social distancing thing is a funny thing. I'm in a house here. It's like a four-level house with a rooftop as well. And we've got my whole family, my four kids, two partners, a couple of friends and a relation that are all kind of blow in, blow out sort of thing. And so we've got 11 people living in our house, right? And they have this crazy rule where you're allowed to go outside. You can break the social distancing rules if it's the people you live with. So we went to the beach one day and there's all these pairs and you can only go out in twos or people from your own house, you know? So we went down the beach one day and there's 11 of us on the beach and we're all hanging out together and there's all these people walking past scowling at us like, those people are breaking the rules and everything else. It's like, oh, we can't even explain to you. We all live in the one house. Yeah. But, you know, it's I actually believe it's not been so heavy-handed. It's been different. We're not being forced to wear masks. You know, we were allowed to go to the beaches, but they were closed, as in the flags were closed, you know, swimming areas were closed and stuff like that. Sydney's beaches were closed for a little while and three beaches on the Gold Coast were closed because too many people were gathering in the one spot. So from their belief system that was going to spread the whole thing, you know, they had to nip that in the bud. But our mayor here, I actually have to hand it to him, he actually tried pretty bloody hard to make sure everyone could still get to the beach. So he left everything else accessible. And they tried things like only go to the beach in your area and, you know, in your neighbourhood. And so I believe they were trying, you know, I believe they were trying. But still the dialogue, our media is majorly influenced by your media, you know. Yeah. So our mainstream media, except probably for Sky. Sky probably follows similar to Fox, which is breaks to the other side a bit more, I think. Uh-huh. I don't really watch it. I don't tune in at all, really. But the dialogue and the anti-Trump rhetoric in Australia and the, you know, and the fabrication of the truth and the taking people on a ride down through who's the hero and who's the villain and all that sort of stuff, including through this whole crisis and everything else. But yeah. I think we've had 10 deaths or something. Was that in Queensland? Or maybe we had 100 in Australia all up or something like that?
I heard it's not hardly anything. You know, the thing about you is your sun is totally different there, you know, than most places. And sunlight just kills this stuff almost immediately. So
that's what I've heard, and it seems to be true, you know. And we're more breakouts have been south, more south where it's a little colder and stuff like that. But I'm up in Queensland and... mate, it's actually been an amazing time. And I constantly ask myself the question, maybe you got a view on this, but at the different levels of reality, you know, that the lower fourth dimension, there's control going on and there's all sorts of stuff happening. But up when you get up around fifth and stuff, you have to start asking yourself the question, this was all meant to happen. You know, like there's healings going on and there's realizations and there's truth coming to the fore and all this sort of stuff. And I think some people think they're controlling this whole thing, but it's like, wow, you're not in control of this. This is actually, the universe is still happily going, think you're in control. But the healing that I've personally tapped into over this period of time and the darkness that I've got to see in myself, and it's almost like the valence is getting thinner and thinner. And so something magical is happening at the same time that something horrific has been happening, you know. And it's hard for people to hear that when they're stuck in the horrific side, but something, there's a big healing going on. And unfortunately, there's a lot of purging to happen to get to that point. But goodness, the earth is actually speaking up somehow. I'm interested in what you think about that.
Yeah, we don't have any cases in our town here at all. There's just a few in Klickitat, but you know, it's really, we just, you know, we're country people out here and it's just been business as usual, basically. Yeah, no big deal. And everybody go, how you doing with the quarantine? And I go, I love it. I like being alone. I like being in nature. Yeah. Yeah. I like not being bothered so I can get all my work done, you know, and things like that. And, you know, I've been building and just repairing and putting my energy into that, you know. But I do see what you're talking about. It definitely, you know, people used to sweep all these issues under the rug, you know, and then they'd run off to work or they'd go here and they'd do that and they'd go to soccer, and they're so busy. And now they don't have anywhere to go. They have to look at themselves, look at their relationships, look at their life, you know, in general. And, there's no getting away from it, you know. And I saw it on that level. I go, you know, this is going to be rough on a lot of people, but they're really going to have to reevaluate their lives and see what they need to let go of and what works and what doesn't work. And on every level, you know, in, you know, religions and governments and everything, they're having to reevaluate everything and just say, hey, you know, and it's time to end the separation game. And I think these forces that are doing this are actually uniting the people. In the long run, it's actually going to unite everybody. And they forgot about one thing, and I call it the internet, you know, where everybody's connected and everybody's getting it and everybody's awakening and this energy's coming in. And there are people that are playing out, you know, they go to CNN and the lamestream media for all their news, and they're saying you should be very scared, you know, and you should wear the mask and you should be afraid of people and you should attack anybody that's not wearing a mask, you know, it's all they do is create separation and division and fear, you know. But I think people are just saying, I'm not, you know, they've been caught in so many lies now that people are starting to say, wait a second, you know, is this thing really real? Is it really that big of a problem? Is there another agenda going on here? And people are really rethinking this, you know, especially when you look at the control patterns, you know, that are happening, you know, the loss.
That control band is really interesting because it reflects the elements of control we have inside of ourselves. Like, as long as I get my football, my beer, some it might be fashion or it might be porn or it might be whatever it is, as long as I get my entertainment, my thrills, you know, my electronics, my devices, and that's something I want to talk to you about, is the AI stuff. But it's as long as we get that, we're all happy. But take that away from us, you know, for some in particular, then we start getting mad, you know. And it's funny that these levels of consciousness, because while there is a force that is in this controlling band, that's, and there's many elements to it, and all the different people I've worked with, and myself included, when you wake someone up, they stop being the army for that band, because they're actually, the soldiers are the people that are actually wanting things to stop telling me that I don't want to know it. And they're attacking truth speakers and truth seekers, and they're attacking, they're shaming people into silence and all this sort of stuff. And so it's a pretty crazy, they've played the game pretty well in the negative, because they've, what they've actually done is they've got us to police ourselves. You know, they've got us to point and say, you're not wearing a mask and you're doing this and you're defying this and that. And an interesting, fascinating way to control a planet is to get the people to turn on themselves, you know. And so hats off to them at one level. We're going to rise above it, and we will come together, because the truth can only be hidden for so long. But it's quite fascinating that we're the problem, because we're the ones entertaining this stuff, you know. Like if we keep waking each other up one at a time. And I chatted yesterday to Ben Joseph Stewart. I don't know if you've seen much of his work, but really quite fascinating. And we're talking about the 3%, you know, the American Revolution, somewhere between 2 and 5% of the people decided enough was enough. And then all of a sudden it changed. And this 3% number, I had a really interesting contact recently, and I felt a craft and a being right over me. And that's not normally my thing. It's been happening more since I met you guys, funnily enough. So thanks for opening the gateway. But I had this contact, and I always get communications, but I had a very strong communication over my shoulder. And then this being told me, I want to talk to you about my craft. And this, it was showing me the craft, and it said, this craft is 97% built on my consciousness. 3% I've utilized, and it used the word AI, but I knew there's another word that it would use, but it was using it for my filter, use AI or tech. And said, that's the number, any more than 3% and you're controlled by it. And that was the communication I got, right? But I was sharing that with Ben, and we're like, hang on, this is really interesting, because this 3% number seems to be the tipping point. Once you get to 4% of people conscious, perhaps the consciousness revolution is complete, and there's a rapid change and filtering through. And I don't know, maybe we're somewhere in that region, because what is conscious? Conscious of what? Conscious of how much? But there surely must be 3 or 4% of people getting close to that.
Yeah, I agree. What I was told too, I was told it was a really good, this guy was saying, he goes, you know, the creator has given its best, you know, for this time, for these times, and they're being awakened, You know, these people don't even know. They don't even know who they are, where they're from. They're from these really advanced civilizations. And a lot of them incarnate from the Pleiades, from the Sirian system, the Orion Council of Light, all those. And all these guys are walking around, and they're being activated now. And and that's what I was told, was that there's a soul activation going on. These people are just waking up fast, and they're realizing what's really happening here, who they really are, and their connection to Source. And that's that internet, you know, the internet.
Yeah, the light switching on, and we're going, picking up on the grid.
And then I was told that there's a fail-safe program. It's in the soul, and it's the creator's fail-safe program. When things get to a certain level, they kick it on, and it activates the soul, and it bypasses the ego and the intellect and everything else. And I think that's what's happening on a massive scale.
Oh, I got goosebumps when you said that. I can feel that, like, whoa.
Yeah.
That little lit up.
And then they told me too, because Ezekiel told me once, he says, you have no idea what's happening on the outskirts of your aura. So we're all connected through the field, you know, the unified field. And a lot of us are really carrying a lot of juice because of these connections that we've made. And it's affecting everybody else. You know, it's in that unified field. Just one person that's awake, that's really packing the juice, is going to affect a lot of people. Just their aura is going to be affecting people as well.
I think it's funny because on the stuff that I do with people, and as they awaken through levels of consciousness, they kind of, it's very simple. It's, they start talking about how they hate their ex-husband, or they, you know, they can't stand the person at work. And then as they're processing through this stuff, they start to feel more of themselves and more of this thing that's overtaken them. And then there's a natural unfolding to go, hang on, what are these other worlds? And what's this spatial awareness I've suddenly got? So there's this crazy kind of rising in consciousness. But what I've noticed for myself is it appears to be like a kill switch as well in the negative or in the 4D, the 4D, the lower stuff, is that when you start to awaken, your energy expands out. It's like you're expanding outside the electric fence in your yard, and the fence goes off, or the alarm goes off. And all of a sudden I've attracted the attention of other energies that are like, no, you do not speak that. And it's funny, when we met, we were walking up, I had so many little things distracting us, trying to stop from me to end up walking through that door at the exact time that I met you. So there was the energy trying to stop it, and there was the energy trying to make sure it happened. And I tapped in because that's what I used to do without knowing it. I was just like, no, let's just stand here. And there's like a big line and people trying to get us. Like, no, this is exactly where we need to be. And as soon as someone came and said, oh, can we have a look at your ticket? You've got to go that way. And I went, there's our cue. Yeah. And it came through. So it was like from my perspective in that moment, I cut through something that was trying to stop us connecting. Uh-huh. And then as soon as it came, the juice in both of us woke up, you know, like the grid was like, oh, you know, and they were like, oh my God, we've got to speak, you know. But I think that's a little window into there's something around the dominion on the planet. The planet's consciousness is being controlled for a long time via this unconscious energy that has us warring and fighting. And there's a grid. It's almost like this AI simulated grid that feeds us, and we all feel like you can even feel like you're a winner in that grid, you know, and you're going up and down the winner loser scale. And that's what I experienced, that I was acting superior, but I was lost spiritually, totally disconnected, could never have connected with you in that space. But it's kind of funny because when you start waking up from it, you go beyond the grid and you start to find the real grid, which is this connection you're talking about on the outer edge of our field, where we feel each other and we go, oh my God, it's my brother from another mother. You know, I have to come and see you, you know, let's, what do we need to do? You know, and we had so much that we needed to talk to each other about. But that's just, I think that's the example of what's happening. And I often talk about the bedsheet principle. If you look at a bedsheet, it looks like one sheet, you know, but it's thousands of strands of cotton connected together, you know. And so if you imagine the bedsheet, which is this internet you're talking about, we're one strand of the cotton in the whole sheet, the fabric of our connection. Yeah. And we think we've got to pick everybody up, but we just have to make sure our piece of cotton comes up. Because you pinch the little piece of cotton and pick that up, and the whole lot comes up. And similarly, if you get someone who's powerful, who's got the capacity to do that, and you can take them out and get them involved in their ego and get them in the dark, you drop a rock in the middle of that bed sheet and you drop that down, and everything else goes on top of that person. So some pretty powerful people that have probably got powerful roles to play that are at the bottom of the barrel right now, But as they awaken and have the epiphany, they'll actually, they have the capacity to communicate to a lot of people. And that might be some of the people in our sport and entertainment industry and stuff like that, that they are communicators and they are big beings and they're stuck where they don't need to be. But when they wake up, they might be quite powerful players.
Yeah, I've noticed that there's a lot of people, you know, we all know that the music industry, the movie industry, that whole thing is replete with some really dark forces. I mean, you don't want to go down that rabbit hole. That's like three shows. But you know, these people are popping. They're waking up and they're starting to expose it and saying, look, this has got to change. This isn't right. And, you know, the predatory stuff going on there and everything else. It's really interesting. And I think too, I think there's so many things is people need to be educated, you know, like they have to have some kind of initiation or something, especially women, you know, to learn, you know, look, you don't sell your soul for fame, you know, or money or whatever else, like your soul's really important, your body's your temple, you know, and don't defile it with these other, I don't want to say what I think of them, but you know, it's like, you know, there needs to be, you know, because that society has fallen so far, it's okay. That's part of life down there, you know, in those places. That's how you survive. And it's really, really a mess energetically, you know, and then later on you rethink about it. You go, wow, what have I done? What have I gotten into? And you start looking around and then you try to get out and it's even worse. But I think
I was just going to say, I'm not religious, but, but I'm very connected to the Christ consciousness, you know, I feel that embodiment of that journey and that walking through clearing yourself, you know. And I love that the saying, you know, forgive them, they know not what they do.
Yeah.
You know, it's just such a powerful thing. And he who hath not sinned may cast the first stone. I'm just like, oh, how powerful. But, you know, I've been in that path, not to that degree, but where you just want to be loved. And as soon as you want to be loved or liked and you feel like you're at the bottom of the barrel and everyone else is more popular than you, you'll take anything you can get, you know? And it's like, these people don't realize they're making deals, what we call deals with the devil. They're making deals with this energy, with the darker energy to say, and the energy comes in and says, I'll give you fame or I'll give you a victory or I'll give you some power. And you're like, yeah, please, please, please. And you don't realize you're doing it. And when eventually you don't realize you've traded your soul because it happens, it doesn't arrive with a, I'm the devil. I'm the evil one. This is going to be a terrible path for you, but I suggest you take it. Actually comes in and goes, hey, I think you'll like this and you shouldn't be left out. Like you should be one of the popular ones and you're a good bloke. And it's the seduction of the whole lot, you know? So I know these people are sucked in, you know?
Yeah. Flattery. You know, I love that saying that there's three kinds of people that always fall victim to flattery every time, you know, and it's men, women, and children, you know, and that's what they use. And even in the spiritual realms, you know, the flattery, they tell you you're the chosen one, but they create a division and a hierarchy and they separate you. And I see people all the time, they just open up into channeling or things like that. And they're not using discernment or discerning who they're talking to. And they're saying, oh, you're special. You're the chosen one. You know, you're princess something from somewhere.
Away you go. Yeah, then you're in deep trouble.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, they realize the being they're talking to, you know, is some entity on the astral level.
And if you're somewhat conscious, when that happens around you, you just feel the whole thing go, you know, because it's the feeling of source and beingness is such a beautiful oneness, gifted, beautiful, powerful thing. You know, like you're just one with everything. And then all this, basically everything other than that is some sort of a distortion or something that's in an incompletion that needs to be completed, seen, resolved, you know, in whatever way or just let go of. But the energy on all that stuff is just like so obvious straight away. Your skin starts to, you know, the heckles come up and all that sort of stuff. So I still find myself clearing it all the time. I'm by no means perfect. Yeah. I'm on the journey going, oh my God, there, I just did it again, you know, but I love facing it and confronting it. And I have noticed during this period that a lot more shadow work, and I'd never researched what shadow work was, but I found myself morning and night doing shadow work. And then I read the other day, a thing popped up, just like the universe does, goes, watch this so you know what you're doing. And I'm like, oh, I'm doing shadow work, you know, which is facing this stuff and seeing and resolving it inside of myself rather than pointing and blaming the rest of the world. I've just been going, no, I have to shift myself because, Yeah. There might be some good people in there. I have to help bring them out. You know, I don't want to write them all off. I've got to bring some of those out.
Yeah, exactly.
So I've been challenging myself to do that.
Well, a lot of people don't realize, you know, I show people that I have photographs of entities overshadowing people.
Yeah.
And a person's getting sick and ill. They have all these bad thoughts. They want to commit suicide and things like that. And you go, you have some entities attached to you. Those aren't even your thoughts that you're having. Those aren't your feelings. Those are their feelings. And I show them how to clear their space and keep their space clear, and all of a sudden they're fine, you know. And if they don't have that avenue, you know, they end up in the rubber room, basically. End up locking them up and drugging them and knocking them down, and which is really sad. And all they need is a few tools and some understandings on how to heal unseen negative influences, how to maintain your self-authority.
That's amazing work you're doing there, mate, because I just know that's the area that hasn't been covered by many people. The covering of entities, a couple of friends and I work through this stuff all the time, but it's the next area for people to go to without making it a big deal and without making it into something else that we get stuck in. It's how to honor it and acknowledge it. And I've had one experience. I've always felt entities and I've seen them in different things, but I do remember watching a guy in a seminar and people were trying to help him. And I got up because I could feel like I'm not seeing the right picture here. And I got up and walked to the side of the room. And I just, I could see this thing on his back. And every time someone gave him a call to try and help him, the entity went out and met the call. I could see this thing going in front of the being, actually meeting the call and absorbing it and stopping and blocking the person. It was really quite fascinating. I went, oh my God. And then the words just fell out of my mouth. I was like, you've got an entity on your back like this. And he turned to me and I saw the light in his eyes because it was helpful to him. But this thing went, I can see you. And when you can see them, that's one of the things my great teacher said to me was you can only be taken out by what you can't or don't see. And this is the thing, is they've kept us in the dark, and literally in the dark around how powerful we are and what we are able to see. So, you know, that's something that I'm still learning and opening up to other ways of clearing it. I've got a few ways of clearing it, but I sometimes think, wow, that was a bit slow. I'd love to be able to clear it faster. But that's the area we need to go next to make a difference to everybody else. I think it'll speed up the awakening, those that can clear this stuff, you know?
I'm working with a lot of people right now. Alex Bloom is one of them, and he's a psychologist, you know, and he's gone through all the training and everything, but he's actually bringing this new information into the field.
Oh, wow.
And I love that, you know, and so I've had a lot of university-level psychologist teachers and things like that come up here. And they usually start off and they say, you can't do that. You know, there's no way you can clear that much energy in such a short time. You know, this is a series. This is this. And I said, well, have you experienced that? And they said, no. And I said, well, sit down. I'll, you know, and next thing you know, they're on the ground, like in a fetal position. We bring the and their mothers are coming in and everybody, and they're going, holy crap. And they come out just totally refreshed. But it's interesting watching it, but it's just, it's that 220. I call it the 220 energy. You know, you plug it into the juice and
220 volts.
And
we have 240 volt out here.
Yeah. You have, I call it the big eraser. You know, your own God self, whatever you want to call it. It's a big eraser. It comes in, never happened. You know.
Yeah. It just burns it off. It's zoop, gone. And there you go. That's powerful, man.
Yeah, I always ask people, you know, I always look at stuff kind of funny. I go, why would a god or a goddess want to channel these entities, you know,
yeah.
You know, we forget our power, we forget our core and who we are, you know, and where we came from and the gifts that have been bestowed upon us. We forget all that and we keep seeking outside of ourselves for these entities to tell us how to act, what to do, where to, you know, and they get all these elaborate stories and everything. And you go, well, what about your own God self? What about your own personal, your unique soul purpose? You know, what about going out under a tree and sitting with that for a while and really getting
absolutely
to know, you know, and they,
I love, you know, one thing that you've helped me with in bumping into you and your work was that for a long time, I've been searching through the heart clearing, like clearing the heart and working on that area and getting people really groundedly getting clear. So there's no bullshit. There's no spiritual airy fairiness. Yeah. Like people are actually confronting stuff and they're actually, their relationship's improving, even though they haven't even spoken to their partner about it already. It's shifted and their partner goes, oh, I can feel you again. You know, like that sort of stuff is very, very possible for us. That's our normal. it's not our normal, that's our natural, but it should be our new normal. But whenever I saw contact, I always, extraterrestrial, and they're always talking time and space and out in space and everything else. So it just was like, it wasn't resonating with me. And then I started following your work and looking at the ED part, the extra dimensional part, and the fact that they're coming multi-dimensional beings and they're coming into this time and space and everything else and meeting us. And all of a sudden I was like, thank you. I already knew that. And I needed to actually connect those pieces together, because ultimately that God source energy is connecting us through all these layers and realms through multiple sources of communication and connection. And it, all it has to do is cut all the way through all this distortion and come all the way around to our little God self here, which is a part of the whole, and go, you are the light. And why the ED part, the extra dimensional part, is so important is because, begin with the end in mind, we're actually multidimensional beings of light. You know, so we have to actually start exploring what we're going through from a multidimensional perspective. And also, we have to receive help from a multidimensional perspective and look at what's stopping us from a multidimensional perspective, rather than saying, I'm a person here trying to clear myself on this planet. A lot of it is because we just don't have a big enough picture. You know, we're not clearing from a big enough picture to say, I'm a source point that's here to give something to the world. You know, and as soon as we realize that, all of a sudden things we haven't been able to clear come into view. It's like, because that's the gift, that's the giving, that's the beyond 50%, that's the selflessness, you know, where it all comes together.
Yeah, it's like I'm a God being, and I'm playing a really nasty trick on myself by losing myself and then trying to find myself again. You know, it's kind of funny.
But I'm sure it'll seem fun at the end.
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, we're hitting the end of the hour. I mean, it's been awesome connecting with you. And I know you're doing a lot of work with the youth and helping people, enlightening people in Australia. And I got to get you over here, and I got to get over there myself too again, you know, so we can reconnect.
I've got a place to take you, remember? I've got somewhere I want to
take you. Yeah, I definitely want to see that. What's the best way for people to get in contact with you to support, you know, support some of the work that you're doing?
Yeah, thanks, James. It's just Trevor Hendy. com. That's TrevorHendy.com. We've also got a boot camp for the soul. It's like a 12-week online program that takes people in their own home through the journey and connecting with the now and clearing things. It's like three stages, and that's on there, or soulbootcamp.trevorhendy.com. And it's thanks for promoting, because I don't actually promote it. I've never gone out and put it anywhere else, because I want people to find it via just talking truth. So it's beautiful. Get rave reviews. I have like a gentleman one day came up to me at a seminar, and he said, I have to thank you so much for your boot camp for the soul. It saved my marriage, and I'm just so happy for it, blah, blah, blah. I said, oh, that's fantastic. What did you enjoy about it? He goes, no. I said, what did you enjoy most about it? And he goes, no, I didn't do it. My wife did. It saved my marriage.
Yeah.
And so I've had that from both sides. But that was almost something I was basically channeling. I got out of the way and brought through this information. I did it. I wrote it over 12 weeks. So. All that stuff. As a YouTube channel, I think I have about 120 subscribers or something, because I don't try and do it. And I throw little things on there, but check it out.
Great. Awesome. Hey, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. Unfortunately, we got to sign off. I'll have to get you back on and we can cover more of this.
Thanks, Brother James.
Good on you. Have a great day over there, and we'll see you soon.
Lots of love, brother. Speak soon. Bye.
All right. It's James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio, and also BBS on the BBS network, and eSETI Stargate. Signing off. Keep an open mind, loving heart, and pure intent. That's all you need. Good night.